And we are back on the KYMN Morning Show. Joining us now in our studios is our state representative for District 20B, Todd Lippert. So Todd, good morning. Thank you
good
so much
morning.
For coming in.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the things that have gone on at the legislature this week. First of all, that, you know, the headline stuff, and that has included no-knock warrants. Legislature has picked that up, due to an incident in Minneapolis last week with Amir. I'm trying to think of his
Amir
last
Locke.
Name. Locke. Yes. What has the legislature got involved with this no-knock warranty? Where are we at?
Sure. So, with the tragic shooting of Amir Locke, another young African American man shot by police. Innocently in a no-knock warrant situation, calls for banning no-knock warrants have escalated, and I've expressed my support for that. Just a few years back, that conversation really developed national attention due to the shooting of Breonna Taylor, also in a no-knock warrant situation. So this conversation has been renewed. My colleague Athena Hollins from St. Paul has put forward a bill to ban no-knock warrants, and it's a bill I'm in support of, as are so many of my colleagues. It's actually drawn some support from Republican governor candidates. Michelle Benson, Paul Gazelka both said that this is a conversation we should visit. So I expect that conversation will pick up steam. We're seeing the difference in two police departments and how they handle it in this situation. So St. Paul Police Department haven't executed a no-knock warrant since 2016. Meanwhile, the Minneapolis Police Department has averaged 139 a year. St. Paul says that these no-knock warrants aren't safe. They're high risk for police and citizens, and we certainly saw that in the Amir Locke situation.
All right. Do you see a bill or some type of legislation coming through in the next week or two on that? Is that going to be decided
so the bill
pretty quickly?
The bill's introduced, and it will start moving through the Public Safety Committee. I imagine that this might be one of the bills that moves quickly, and is a bill that moves to the House floor relatively soon. We'll see how it takes shape in the larger public safety conversation. And the House DFL has a holistic approach to public safety, $100 million proposal, and I imagine that no-knock warrants will be a part of the public safety reform conversation we're having overall.
All right. We've got a word from Minnesota News Network, MNN, this morning that the state's budget surplus is probably going to be more than the $7.7 billion that had been predicted, maybe something closer to $10 billion. I don't have those numbers yet, but you'll be getting those pretty soon, I understand?
Yeah, so, we'll get those firm numbers soon, as well as how much is an ongoing surplus that's built into the budget over time, and how much is one-time spending. But really, we're dealing with a little bit more of a good situation. And we're in this circumstance because the American Rescue Plan of the Biden administration has done some rescuing of our economy in a way that, no one was really expecting. And we have better than expected tax receipts from businesses and individuals. And so now the question is, how do we use this surplus in the best way to invest in the needs of Minnesotans, reduce costs for Minnesotans. And, I have some on my list, childcare, affordable housing, weatherization. Those are some big things we could do that would really help out Minnesotans in many ways.
What about a refund check? Would you support that, giving some of it back to the taxpayers?
So that's a conversation that I'm definitely open to. I think the way I would want to make sure that we're structuring that is we're getting that to the Minnesotans who have the greatest need, and not to, when we're talking about refunds or tax cuts, that we're not giving the money to the wealthiest Minnesotans or the largest corporations that have done very well. So I think, it's a conversation I'm open to, but I want it to be tailored in a way that's really focused on Minnesotans that have the greatest need.
State Representative Todd Lippert is with us. We're talking about the legislative session, which is going on now all the way through May. Let's talk about redistricting. That has been a topic of conversation for a while now. Everybody has seen that coming, but it won't be too long before the redistricting maps come out. Can you kind of tell us a little bit of background about that? Who's deciding where the districts are, and what do you think they're going to be looking like?
Yeah, so all will be revealed very soon. We expect the maps will come out 15th or the 16th. So the legislature is tasked with putting maps together. And so both the House and the Senate have had redistricting committees that have been meeting over the summer. The House DFL, in conversation with Republicans, put out a map, and the public has been looking at that map. In that map, the Northfield district, my district, instead of going east and west towards Montgomery, it goes north and south towards Farmington. And then the congressional maps are a part of that, too. And the House Republicans have also put out a map. In that map, Northfield is split in two. You see some kind of the political considerations there. They would love to see one less Democrat in the House. The Senate has not put forward a map yet. And we're running out of time for the Senate and House to come to agreement. We really need to do that by February 15th. If we don't, the courts will put forth a map. And the courts have been preparing for this. In the past few decades, this process has been kicked to the courts. And so February 15th or 16th, we should see maps for congressional districts and House and Senate districts coming out. We'll all have a chance to take a look, chew on it, see what's going to be different for our state.
At what time will that be decided on? Is that going probably all the way through the legislative session, do you suppose?
So once the courts release their map, there will likely be some, you know, there could be some litigation of that map. But it's really a first, you know, if it gets to the situation where the courts are the ones releasing the map, the legislature can't come to agreement. When the courts release the map, that's really the first draft of our district maps. And there might be some litigation for some adjustment, but that's basically what the maps should be. And then the legislative process for the rest of the session will really continue independent of those maps.
All right. Representative Lippert is with us. Let's talk about something that affects Northfield, actually. Grid modernization with our power grid. Tell us about some of the things you've been working on there.
That's right. This might be the wonkiest thing I've been working on. But we've had an issue because in Northfield, because we've been putting so much solar on the grid, doing exactly what we need to be doing to respond to climate change and working towards climate action plan here in Northfield, we've come up, the grid needs to be modernized, and Xcel Energy has been frustrating local residents by charging $15,000 for a, quote, interconnection fee to connect new solar arrays to the grid, saying that, it's going to be that customer's responsibility for updating the grid, or saying it's going to be 2 to 3 years before you can put a solar array on. And so we talked about this at the legislature some. I had more conversations with local city leaders and some others in the clean energy space. And so I introduced a bill for a grid modernization project for Northfield. It cost about $4.5 million for us to modernize the grid. We need to move from what PUC Commissioner John Tuma, a local, would say is a dumb grid to a smart grid. That's the direction we need to go. And so this would allow for more software on the grid to move power in multiple directions instead of just one direction, which is what happens in a dumb grid. It would allow for more storage, which we need to be integrating. And it would allow Northfield to be a model to other communities about how, you know, what can a smart grid look like for communities in the future. And this is really a role Northfield often plays, of being a leader for other communities in the state.
All right. So this bill would be on its own. Northfield would be kind of on their own there. This isn't part of a statewide thing. This is just for Northfield.
So it's a pilot project. And these sorts of pilot projects are, you know, are funded at the legislature. It would draw from the renewable development account, which is there for the purpose of providing funding for some special projects that promote renewable energy. So I think it's a good fit for that. The climate and energy chair in the House is supportive of it. It's Chair Jamie Long. He happens to be a Carleton grad, which helps a little bit. Understand some of the challenges in Northfield and the ways that this community likes to lead. So it's off to a good start in the House, and Senator Senjum is the chair of the Energy Committee in the Senate. He's also he's a rare Republican, and that he wants to be responding to climate change too. So and knows that we need to be upgrading the grid. So I think you know, we have a good chance of having a receptive audience there, and the bill's off to a good start.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention while we have you in here?
Well, I just appreciate this time and encourage residents to contact my office or follow me on Facebook or Twitter. If you have something you want to say as the session's getting started, a perspective that I need to hear or a need that's present in the community or that you're facing, please let me know.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
That's right.
State Representative Todd Lippert from District 20B. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080, KYMN Northfield.